Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Welcome, Impactful Parents. Today, we're going to show you how to teach your children to be money pros. Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and welcome to my Inspire and Learn series, where real parents come on and tell their story of inspiration and learning. Because a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from other people's mistakes. And today we're going to learn from Chris Larson. Chris is a self-made entrepreneur. He is passionate about helping families, and he wants every family to get rid of the money burden and feel rest assured that they are prepared for the future. So he has developed a system for even teaching successful financial habits to his own children. And today, Chris is going to give us 5 ways to set up your kids up for financial success and create lasting wealth for your family. Welcome to the stage, Chris.
Christina, it's awesome to be here. Great to see you today.
Thank you. Now, I know this sounds great, financial success, all this investment, but most of my audience doesn't come from money, or maybe they just don't have a lot of money right now because it's hard times, let's face it. So how are they going to relate to you and your family and your success?
Well, thank you for first off for having me and asking that question. You know, I talk about why I wrote my book, which, by the way, if your audience wants to get it, they can check it out, nextlevelincome.com. Free book if you're listening today. Just click on the book link. But I talk about my book. I wrote my book so it can help people take a shortcut and learn from all the mistakes I made. I love that intro because, you know, I don't consider myself a wise person. You know, I made a lot of mistakes, but I've had a lot of people help me out along the way. And unfortunately, I learned from real life experiences. My father passed away when I was 5 years old. My younger son, he's 10 years old. He just walked in the door here about 15 minutes ago. I got to give him a little kiss on his way in the door. But you know, I never had that experience. I had a stepfather. He was wonderful. My mother remarried when I was 11, but, you know, I grew up and I just remember dealing with, the stress of my mother and finances and cleaning up kind of the mess after my father passed away. He actually died in a plane crash. He was a pilot. He went down Lake Michigan. I was telling this story yesterday. My wife and I were going through some family planning stuff, as a matter of fact, and my mother couldn't get the life insurance because they wouldn't issue a death certificate because they couldn't find his body for a period of time. So I remember that we were on Social Security. My grandmother made my clothes for us. We ate the vegetables we ate were out of cans. I didn't get name brand stuff. I got stuff from, you know, the department store. I got made fun of for the clothes I wore, and picked on for those things. And then, you know, even after we kind of got back on our feet as a family and my mother remarried, I'll never forget both my parents losing their jobs when the real estate market crashed in the early 90s. I lost my internship coming out of college because of the tech crash kind of in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then I watched my portfolio after I built a portfolio of real estate drop in 2008 and 2009. You know, so I've been through a lot of these challenges. So if you are going through these challenges, what I can tell you is there is a light at the end of the tunnel and you can come out through the other side. But I think the most important thing to focus on when we're in stressful times are the fundamentals. And, you know, the challenge we have in this country is that we're not taught the fundamentals, especially when it comes to money. You know, we're not taught, you know, as adults, and then that makes our children certainly aren't taught that. And then it makes it that much harder for us to do so. So even though, you know, I work with, you know, investors, I work with people that are making, you know, real estate investments for themselves. What I realize is a lot of people struggle with how do you convey these messages to your kids. And that's what I'd love to talk about today, kind of how we've structured, you know, 5 easy things that you can do to set your kids up for a lifetime of financial success.
To teach our kids how to handle money, that's so important. And something that, I don't know, parents don't do as much anymore. I think they just assume that the kids are going to learn it in school, and they don't. And so, yeah. So glad that you're here to give us the fundamentals of what we need to do.
Yeah, well, I'm ready to jump in if you are.
I am. What is your tip number one?
Yeah. So the first tip, you know, if you're like, all right, how do I teach my kids about money? The first thing is start having conversations about money and get your kids a bank account. So yesterday, my older son, he's going to be 12. Last week, he cut his finger really badly on a hand blender. So he had stitches. Fortunately, we saw the surgeon yesterday. He did not need to have surgery. And on the way to take him to school, he was kind of in study hall because his class was skiing yesterday, of all things he had to miss. But I took him to the bank with me. So, you know, take your kids to the bank, you know, show them, you know, what money is used for, you know, talk about how much groceries cost. You don't have to talk about how much you make. You don't have to talk about, you know, how much money, you know, you have in your retirement accounts or what your house costs, but show them what money is used for. And again, the first thing is starting a bank account. If you haven't done this yet, go to your local bank, and you're going to want to set up what's called a custodian account for your child. And again, I put this all in the PDF that we're going to share with you all at nextlevelincome.com/kids, nextlevelincome.com/kids. So real easy, get that bank account started first and foremost for your kids.
And what age do you do that?
Yeah. So, here's the thing, like, let's say you're pregnant. Let's say you have another kid on the way. If you have, you know, if you're listening, you're probably already a parent. But if you have a kid on the way, as soon as they're born, you can start up, you can start one of these custodian accounts. So if children get money for a gift for their birthday or from grandparents, you can put that money in there. You can kind of seed that. But I think, you know, I'm trying to remember the exact age. I think 5 is a pretty good age. Again, I think the earlier, the better. But as soon as children can kind of understand what it is, you know, get that started. Or as soon as they start to receive money for some reason. I remember my mom used to take my money off the top of my dresser. I used to stack it up and she'd stick it in my bank account. I'd be like, this is like the opposite of the tooth fairy. Like, my money's disappearing, but she was putting it in my bank account for me.
I love the suggestion of taking the kids to the bank with you. Again, kids don't know unless you show them, they experience it. And sometimes parents, we forget that it's important to bring them along and show them where their money is going and how it's going to be held for them until they need it. What's your second tip?
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I got a bank account. What do my kids do with that? Most, if you're listening, you know, a lot of parents, they give their kids an allowance or they pay their kids for grades. And you know, different families do different things. I actually pay my children a salary. Now people are like, you pay your kids a salary? Well, that's their allowance. So they get a dollar a day. Now here's the thing. They don't always get their dollar. So my son left the lights on downstairs the other day. Well, he's not following the rules of the house. He's wasting resources. Maybe he leaves the door open or doesn't pick up his clothes or do their laundry. Yeah, we make our kids do their laundry, but they get a reward for it. So just like if you have a job and you go to work and you get a salary, you get paid. If you don't show up, sure, you get days off. There's exceptions. But if you don't do your job, you don't get paid. If they're disrespectful to their mother or me, they get a deduction. So that's the second thing, is pay your kids a salary. Now, how do you help them understand, you know, the money that's coming in and the money that's going out? So let's say, I'll just keep using my kids as an example. So let's say my older son doesn't listen to his mother and back talks. Maybe we deduct $2 from him for that month. What we did was, and again, there's a link in the PDF, they're called accounting ledgers. Now, how many people are listening? You can raise your hand. I can't see you, but you can raise your hand if you've never balanced a checkbook. I mean, I don't balance a checkbook anymore. I have my online banking. I can look it all up on there. I can look at my credit card. It automatically tells me that I spent too much money at Whole Foods last month, you know, and all these things. But my kids don't know how to balance a checkbook. So these inexpensive accounting ledgers, it has a date, it has a line for the description, and then it has a plus or a minus for, you know, if you're going to credit or debit that account. And then you can write in there if your children, you know, get a credit or a debit. And I think weekly is good. You know, you can pay them every Friday or Saturday if you want to. But here's the other thing you can do, Christina. If you take your kids to the store and they want something, it's like a credit card. You know, kids are like, oh, just use your credit card. You can, if they want to buy something, you can say, well, we can deduct that, you know, from what you pay. And then they can write that down in their book. So if they buy, you know, a toy for $5, or maybe they save up and it's, you know, it's a toy that's, you know, more expensive. You can also write that down in there. But again, I think, you know, going to the bank about once a month is a really nice way of, you know, understanding, putting that money in, and then they can start to understand, you know, kind of how that starts to grow for them.
I love the ledger. There's something special about paper and pencil or pen and keeping track of things. And although that might seem pretty archaic to most of this parents community who does it all online right now, your children don't know any better and they use pen and paper still at school. So that's really not going to be very foreign to them to keep track that way. And I could see it really working. I'm so excited even just to hear your number three. Like, what else do you got for us?
Number three is teach them about investing. Now this is tough. Okay. Cause I know some of you are thinking like, I need to learn more about investing. And I can sympathize with you. I spent years and years and years, you know, figuring out, you know, the basics and then, you know, some more advanced strategies with investing. But I want to talk about what's the first rule? How do you teach your kids like about saving and investing? So at Next Level Income, we talk about learning how to make more money, keep more money, and ultimately then growing your money. If you're not keeping that money, you're not saving, there's nothing there to grow, right? So our family rule, the kids know this for them, is to save 50%. Now, if you're listening and you're like, Chris, like how can I save 50%? Like that's not possible for me to do it. That's why make is the first, is the first thing. You know, the more money, if you need to make more money to ultimately get to the point of saving more, you can do that. But if you're paying your kids, say $30, a dollar a day, $30 a month, teach them that they can be disciplined before they're spending all that. Say, hey, you know, save 10, save 15, save five, whatever the number is for your family, say that and say, hey, this is what we do. You know, if we save $10 a month out of our $30, but then what I do to reward them, and you can budget this in, what I do to reward them, if they save $10, I give them another $10 to deposit in the bank. So if they get $30 for their allowance, when we go to the bank, I pay them the $30. So they get the cash in their hand. I pull it out of my account. I pay them. Now they sit there and then both my boys are sitting there together and they get to decide how much money they're going to deposit into their account. So if they put $20, now I'm stuck. I'm on the hook for 20 bucks, you know, another 20 bucks, but that goes into their account to save because it's hard for kids to understand, for instance, like compound interest, because it's a pretty abstract concept for, you know, for anybody. But that gives them that immediate gratification of understanding like what investing is, what savings is. A little bit more advanced. So if you have children that are a little bit older, if they're working already, let's say you have a business and you hire children. So Christina, we were talking beforehand, you say, you know, you do some of your editing and, you know, as your children are able to do that or marketing, like my boys can send out my books, I can pay them to send my books out. So, you know, what would I pay somebody to package books for me? $15 an hour. That's reasonable. So let's say my boys are working in a job and they're making money. As soon as they're making money, you can start what's called a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA has a lot of flexibility and very similar to a custodian account. You can start one of these with someone like Vanguard, which is who we started our boys' Roth IRAs for. And again, there's a link to this in the PDF that you can check out. So again, that's kind of like your advanced strategy of teaching your kids how to invest after they've actually started to earn money that they're reporting to the IRS.
And I would imagine that those concepts are a little bit more for the older child, but if they've already had that foundation that you're setting with the tip number one and two, then tip number three, it comes with time. It comes a little bit later when they're ready to grasp it. And I see it working. That's really exciting. And what do you have for tip number four?
Yeah. So we're starting to get into, you know, kind of like a little bit more advanced strategies. So start a business. Now, this doesn't have to be crazy, but this could be like a lemonade stand, right? This could make them 10 bucks. It could make them $10,000. But I think what, you know, we lack financial literacy in this country, which is why we started a financial literacy program here at a local nonprofit called Open Doors in Asheville. It's also why I love to do stuff like this. The other thing we don't teach enough of is entrepreneurship. And it's really easy because we all know the kids, you know, when you're a kid, maybe you had a lemonade stand or you had, like had a paper route, you know, you shovel driveways at with snow this time of year, you mow lawns, that's a business, right? So if your kids start a business, encourage them. This is one thing, especially my stepfather really helped me do. He would help me with my lawn and my, kind of like landscaping business, because he was a contractor, and he'd kind of market me to his clients. He'd say, "Hey, you know, you're going to pay that person $500 to rake your leaves. My son will do it for $300. And, you know, he'd say, "Hey, if you want to do this, there's a way to make $300. And, you know, he'd drop me off on Saturday morning and he'd pick me up Saturday night and he'd drop me off Sunday morning. And I guess it was a good way for him to get me out of the house all weekend. But I also made more money than a lot of my friends made in a month. So let me walk through what we did. We actually started a jump rope business with our boys. So I went on a couple different websites and I found how to buy parts for jump ropes. Sourced them directly from China. The boys took a loan from me on my credit card. So we recorded that in their ledger. Okay. We recorded that in their ledger. And then when the pieces came in, the boys put them together and we went to the gym on Saturday mornings. And these two cute little boys, this was a few years ago, they're not as cute as they used to be, although they're still okay. They would sit there in the lobby, and when people would come through, they had a little sign, and we cleared it with the gym owner, and they were cool with it because people use jump ropes and they weren't losing. They weren't selling jump ropes. So they sold them for $10, and it only cost them about $2 for these jump ropes. So that got us, you know, that allowed us to teach them how to, you know, a little bit about financing, you know, borrowing that money. It taught them about like quality control, because they had to put these pieces together. And if they didn't put a screw in and it fell apart, they couldn't sell that jump rope. It taught them sales, because they had to talk to people. And then it also taught them about profits. So, you know, they figured out, hey, you know, I just made $8, you know, talking to one person on this jump rope, or talking to one person about this jump rope. That would take me 8 days to make that in my salary. And then the neat thing is, when they have a business, when they have an investment account, and when they have a salary, you can start to compare this with your kids. You can say, hey, how much money did your investment account make that's invested in the stock market this month compared to your, you know, $30 you made in your salary? Or how much did you make in your business this weekend selling jump ropes that would have taken you, you know, 2 months to make, you know, in your little allowance that you get, or salary that you get? So again, these aren't, you know, these are things that we've probably all done at some point in our lives. And again, I walk through, you know, kind of all the things that we did here and how you can stack all these things together to teach your kids these different lessons.
That's my favorite one yet. I absolutely love that. I mean, as an entrepreneur myself, but I was an entrepreneur after the age of 40. So, I mean, I would have loved it had I had a little bit more guidance when I was younger. And talk about life lessons that you're teaching your kids through those things, and the quality time that you're going to get when you really sit down with your kids and help them when they do that, and then how proud they're going to be, or even if their business doesn't make it, how, what kind of lessons they're going to learn from that. Yeah. This is my favorite one yet. And I just want to preface this and reiterate that you can do this with a lemonade stand. You can do this when they're very young. You might need to, you know, of course, hold their hand a little bit more, but this is possible. Little kids, they can make bracelets and sell them to their friends. And there are a lot of kids who have this kind of capability, and they just need a little push and a little mentor to really probably take off when they're older. And this is amazing advice.
So many things. Collect seashells at the ocean, make bracelets, offer to paint kids' nails. I mean, there's so many, you know, there's so many different things we can do. You can collect, you know, you can collect stuff that you're going to give away and have a little yard sale. Again, there's a ton of different things. And by the way, I didn't know how to get these jump ropes. I had to do some research, you know, on that. And you can get really advanced and say, hey, we're going to start a YouTube channel and market this stuff. I mean, you can go as far as you want with this, but it is amazing what kids are doing now, you know, under the age of 18 that I see. And, you know, we're going to have our first billionaire under 18 at some point here in the near future. I can tell you that.
And tell us about number five.
Yeah. Number five might be a little bit controversial. So this is teach your children the true cost and the value and the true cost of college. So I went to school. I was fortunate that, so eventually we did get some life insurance from my father, and it wasn't a ton of money, but my mom set it aside. I got some scholarships. I worked during college and did a graduate degree as well. So I was able to come out of school without any debt, which is really nice. There's a lot of studies out there that say you're better off if you go to college. You're going to make $1 million more than if you didn't go to college. We have to remember that these studies are done on people that were going to college 40, 50 years ago. College is a lot more expensive right now. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to encourage my children to go to college. I'm not going to say that I'm not going to help my children with the cost of college, but my children will understand the return on investment from going to college. So this is what I mean. I had a friend call me just last week. She's considering, now she's an entrepreneur. She has a marketing company, and she's considering going back to school for an MBA. And she was like, do you think it's worth it for me to get an MBA? And we walk through kind of like, you know, if she would make more money, what the costs would be. You know, if your children are going to college, I think it's really important to look at what are they going to study? Okay. Are they going to study something that's going to provide them with value from what they spend on college? Are there other options? So for instance, I grew up in Maryland, but I went to school in Virginia. I got in-state tuition in Virginia for the degree that I studied because of the program that was offered. So look for those sorts of things. Find ways to reduce the cost of college. Find ways to maximize the earning potential of your children coming out. And then ask your children, and you might have to educate yourself on this. Say, what if I took this, let's say it's $100,000 for your child to go to college. What if you invested that money at 10%? Would it be worth more than $1 million over the course of their lifetime? The interesting thing is the average person, if they invested the money that it cost them to go to college, they would earn 30 to 40% more than that $1 million that they would earn from going to college. Plus they would have those years back, you know? So we have to look at these things as we evaluate it. You know, college might not be the best choice at this time for everybody. My older son wants to play lacrosse in college. Well, he better get a scholarship to play lacrosse, because I'm not going to just pay for him to go to college to play lacrosse. So he understands those things. My younger son wants to design cars. Okay, so that probably would necessitate an engineering degree, but he's already talking about how he's going to figure out ways to pay for it. So again, this is a pretty complex subject, but you know, look for ways to evaluate the best options for college for your child's interests. Find out, you know, are there ways to save money, to get grants, you know, tuition assistance, those sorts of things. And then also, you know, look and see, okay, you know, are there other options? Like if your son wants to be, or daughter, you know, wants to be a real estate investor, you know, okay, maybe you help them go buy their first property with some of that college tuition. And maybe then they go back after a couple of years and figure out how to do that. So don't just assume that sending your kids off to college at 18 and expecting them to know what they're doing and how to handle the cost of it and take a bunch of college loans, you know, in the process, that's not always the best for kids. So make sure you evaluate all these things. And there's a ton of resources out there to help parents do this now.
Thank you so much. What a great breadth of knowledge and great tips today. And that's not all. You have a couple of freebies for us. Both of you mentioned, but we're going to reiterate again so the audience can go and get those. The first is pretty much a cheat sheet for everything that you've said today. It's the 5 tips to create lasting wealth for your children, right? And then yep. The second one is your book, Next Level Absolutely. Income. And this is an ebook also. So I'm speechless. Thank you so much for giving the audience these great resources. And if they want your assistance and want to reach out to you, how would they do that?
Yeah. So check out nextlevelincome.com, Christina. If you want to get that cheat sheet, which I wouldn't remember all this if I didn't have it, I'm just kidding. But nextlevelincome.com/kids. I think we're going to have this in the show notes. Go to the book link. If you put your address in, I'll send you a copy of this. And then if you want to learn more about what we do, I do take on coaching clients on a one-by-one basis. We also have different investment opportunities that we offer. You can always reach out to me at chris@nextlevelincome.com. That's chris@nextlevelincome.com.
Thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate you being here. And if you have an inspiring story and want to share your story with the audience so that others can learn from you, please go to theimpactfulparent.com/workwithme and sign up. And if you want to become a more impactful parent, check out all that my website has to offer. I have parenting courses, family coaching, a free downloadable app, and lots of free resources. But until next time, you got this, parents. I'm just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. Go to the Impactful Parent website and download the free Impactful Parent app so you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today. So go to theimpactfulparent.com and see you next episode.